Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Welcome to Cannon Fodder, a behind-the-scenes look at the Glass Cannon Network.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to Cannon Fodder. It is Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. And I'm your old pal, Joe O'Brien, and I am Troyless today. There is no Troy joining me for Cannon Fodder. If you're hearing this, you might not know it, but if you're watching, you certainly can see I'm in the captain's chair. I'm at the studio today doing fodder. We kicked Troy out of here because today is a very important fodder. In the wake of the last episode of the Glass Cannon podcast, we felt we needed to have a bit of a house meeting, a bit of a player meeting, and it's happening live here today on the FOD. I am joined by all of the players of the Gatewalkers campaign. Ladies and gentlemen, Skid, Sid, Matthew, and Kate!
I know you.
Sorry, I got scared. It's weird because they're in different places.
Yes.
It's freaking me out.
Only I'm in a different place.
Yeah. Well, Joe is not supposed to be there.
And no one's here.
No one's in the normal Kate seat. I am sitting in the normal Troy seat behind the GM screen. This is a nice view. Like, to get to see everybody with only turning your head about 20 degrees, that's nice. Normally, when Matthew is having a great role play scene, it's just, you know, the whole time I gotta turn my head too much.
That's why you and I never have role play scenes.
Yeah, we really don't. It's like, you know, and I'm gonna walk up to Buggles because Skid's directly across from
right ahead in front of me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you guys for coming and hanging out. We are gonna do, you know, we're gonna get everybody caught up on the news this week, of course, what's going on with the network. Then we're gonna dive into GCP. Campaign 2, episode 26, 25? I can't remember.
26.
Kate knows.
I know.
Kate knows. We're going to dive into GCP episode 26 and get right to the hot topic. But first, and then of course, we are stupid. There's going to be some mistakes made, so we'll talk about that. And listener mail, we're going to talk to you guys and see what you want to talk about. We'll ask the players here. Let's kick it off with some news. There's a fun thing happening tonight. Some of you don't know about this. There's a really fun thing happening tonight that we've never done before. So as part of our rewards for the Vorpal membership of our new subscription service, we are doing a Talk Nerdy Town Hall. Now, we did a version of this last year where we would go on Discord and you could hang out with Skid or myself or Matthew or Troy for about an hour and chat on Discord. And it was primarily one of us would be talking over a voice channel while everybody else was chatting. We recorded that and then would leave it there for everybody to listen to. Well, doing something a little different this week, as I start this kind of new era of Talk Nerdy Town Hall on our new subscription service, I've decided to use the new Discord stages technology with the help of my good buddy McD to try to make it more of like a talk show experience. where the audience can come to the stage and talk, almost like taking callers on a radio show, right? So we're going to try it out tonight, March 20th, 7:30 p.m. Eastern on Discord. You do have to be a Vorpal subscriber. So if you are a Vorpal member, please come by and hang out. If you're not, maybe bump up. Check it out. See if you like it. It's going to be Jared and myself hosting the show. We're going to be chatting about some fun generic nerd topics and taking calls from you. Calls from the audience. So we're going to test it out, see how it goes. That's tonight, 7:30 Eastern time. I mentioned it to Skid in passing. I hope you pop by.
I am real excited. I can't wait for this.
I'm kind of nervous because, like, you know, it's one thing when you're doing live fodder on Twitch and, like, people are chatting and you can kind of pick and choose what you want to talk about. But bring them up there. Let's see what they have to say. It's really, it's working without a net. And you know who loves it? Jared Logan.
Yeah, see, this is the best chance to do it is with Jared because
he's the funniest man ever.
Yeah, and you're going to get lunatics up there.
Jared doesn't have time for that.
Yeah, Jared will absolutely shut it down and turn it into something. Spin it into gold. He's the Rumpelstiltskin of the stage. So I can't wait. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that. Moving on to merch this week after we did our Toronto show. We just got back from Toronto. Phenomenal show, by the way, guys. Great job. And what a crowd.
Thank you.
What,
oh, man.
What a great goddamn show and time. What a wonderful country.
Yeah, what a great country.
I am ready to renounce my citizenship right now.
Whoa. I'm only sad one of us wasn't grievously injured so we could partake of the wonderful.
That's the one thing we didn't get to really sink our teeth into was the healthcare system up there.
McD was pretty convinced. He pinned it on universal healthcare as being the primary reason that no one moved with any alacrity to do anything. He was just like, they just know they're going to live forever, so they don't care to get anything done.
It's
like
no urgency.
There's no sense of urgency in this country.
It was surprisingly coming from like East Coast. You would think like that East Coast mentality just kind of travels up the line, but there's a real West Coast vibe in Toronto of like people walking slow in the street, people taking their time and, you know, eating out. It was really nice. It was
taking
very
the entire length of a visit at a restaurant to deliver Sydney's drink.
Single drink.
When I sat down. And you know what? That's okay. I respect it. It's just confusing because the city is so similar to New York. Like, it's this big, sprawling metropolis of a city, these big, modern skyscrapers. Like, I didn't know what Toronto looked like. But then the people walk at 0.5 miles an hour. And I'm like, you don't have anywhere to go? You're not going to any of these buildings? Why are you out?
It hurts me to walk that slow.
It's just one of those things that's just like a little different.
Yeah.
Canada's full of those things, and I fucking love it.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And the food.
Number one on my list is the snacks.
I said this to
those of you who are at the VIP, but I was like, I am flabbergasted at how good your snack game is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the snack game is incredible. We had an amazing listener who came to the live show and brought a case of Pringles.
Canadian Pringles.
Canadian Pringles.
All dressed, ketchup. We had all of it. It was so good.
Oh, God. It was. We went to a snack store. Was that Friday night? Yeah.
Yeah.
Friday night. It was after dinner.
Equivalent of a bodega.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was after dinner. We went out, had some drinks. We're like walking back to the hotel and we walked in. We're like a little hungry. We'll have a little late night snack.
A little chip.
Walked into this snack store and just couldn't stop ourselves. Just bought bags and bags of snacks and candy.
They had French candy.
They spent money like money didn't mean anything. It doesn't in Canada.
It doesn't.
It was Canadian dollars.
It's pretend money.
Big money.
Yeah. All right. Well, also debuting at that show was the bird shirt. The bird shirt dropped and people seemed to love it. I loved it. I thought it looked pretty awesome. I wore it on stage. And it is now available in the store. So if you want to check it out, it should be up there, as well as the OG GCP hat, which also came into Toronto. So they're both available in the web store. Check those out.
Joe, my cousin Andrew, who you met, who came to the Jason Charles Miller.
Oh, yeah.
He was just texting me about an hour ago saying, I can't wait to buy that bird shirt.
Oh, amazing.
It's really cool. It looks like a metal band like logo that you can't read a little
bit.
I want one.
Yeah. And we don't say that about every piece of merch.
I don't know everything we make.
But I really want that one. There's another one. I'm trying to think. There was one for one of your characters. Oh, I think it was the Gormley Fall one.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
like, I want
was that. Was that Angelique? Was that one of the Angelique ones?
Angeline, yeah. I believe they did that. It's just like falling back. I love that shirt. Remember it had the mosquito was like all on the neckline, like on the collar? That was really
Dragonfly, yeah.
So sad.
Dragonfly, right. Mosquito.
So sad. That episode.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. I mean, I listen to it. Spoilers for other people who haven't heard it.
Quick update on the tour as well. Austin VIP is sold out.
Oh, baby.
You're done. Austin's doing a great job. Thank you so much, Austin. Kansas City, you're getting there. Still some VIPs available there. St. Paul has one VIP ticket left. So if you're going to St. Paul, literally, as of right now, there's one ticket left. You could be the one to get it. Grab it and wrap that up for us. And then, yeah, our next stop is Kansas City. So looking forward to that. All right. Enough BS. Let's get into the episode. This week's episode of the Glass Cannon Podcast was a continuation of a combat. We have not done that very often in Gatewalkers. It's been a lot of like, let the episode go long to finish the encounter, you know, in most situations. This time we carry it over because this Shay fight is particularly frustrating. This ability that the Shay has to jump away from us elongates the fight. The Shay doesn't seem to put out a lot of damage, but it's a harrowing encounter because we can't quite lock it down. And during that fight, there was a great deal of concealment involved. Well, let me say quickly what Troy told us after the episode about that Shay. So he sort of spilled the beans on the ability because we were so frustrated by the end. We were like, what the hell was that Shay doing?
Tell us what it does.
Just tell us what it does. We failed every recall knowledge check we did.
I knew what it did.
Kate knew what it did.
I guessed it on air.
Yeah, pretty close. Oh, she did pretty close to guess it
exactly.
On air.
Yeah. She got it exactly.
I got it exactly on air. I was like, I bet you it's this.
But you didn't get the two reactions thing. Well, sorry, I'm jumping Joe's boat, but I feel like none of us understood that part.
All right, let me summarize it really quickly.
I did.
I believe it.
Kate is ready, and it's awesome.
This is my first reunion.
This really is. This is GCP episode 26 reunion. So the way the ability worked, from my understanding, I don't have the book here in front of me, unfortunately, is that the Shay could, as an action, or two actions.
As a reaction.
No. As an action.
Oh. She could prepare.
She could prepare the stance, and that gave her two reactions in a round. She could use up to two reactions in a round.
Otherwise, she got one.
And her reaction, which some sort of slip step thing, I can't remember exactly what it was called, was triggered whenever a creature moved into an adjacent square. So if you moved into an adjacent square, bam, the creature could jump almost like Dimension Door and must end up in melee with another creature.
Yeah.
And it was in dim light, or is that?
No,
the dim light was just for the concealment.
Yeah, the dim light was adding to the concealment, but then she could move to a creature. Like, she moved to Buggles and then stabbed. I remember that.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Exactly. So it was brutal.
Yes.
I don't really know if I need to summarize this, but at one point during the fight where all these concealment rolls were happening, a concealment roll set off quite an argument.
Was it a concealment roll?
I believe so.
I don't think it was.
Oh, I see. I see where you're going with. You're jumping ahead of me, Matthew.
Sorry.
To moderate this reunion.
I like how it's like one couch.
Exactly. Yeah, one couch, other couch. I'm in a chair. Now, normally in this seat, normally I am the moderator, you could say, of Cannon Fodder. But in this case, I'm going to have to recuse myself from moderating. I was on another side of this debate, and I feel like I need to honor that. So in order to recuse myself from that role, I have asked Skidmar to act as moderator for this particular reunion. And take it away, Skid.
Hello. Doing a little homage to Kate's favorite thing in the world, which is Andy Cohen's reunion shows. Network. Hi, welcome to the Gatewalkers reunion show. I wanted to get my Nendex card.
You have magic cards. That works. That works.
So let me introduce you here, too. She's been called the pride of the Carolinas, Sydney Emanuel.
I'm the craziest player you don't want to. You don't want.
I didn't plan. Dude, you got way closer than I would have gotten. That was great. That was great.
Take two. Okay, ready? I'm going to flip my bottle cap. Always a nat 20.
You had a whole take two. And you
that was actually pretty good.
Flip a bottle cap like a coin?
You want to do a take three? I'll do one more. I'll do one more.
With math.
I never roll higher than a 20 because that's how many are on a die.
She's nailing it. I don't know why we have
you
to
just
do more
can't
than
be stopped at your awesomeness. It's out of control.
Everyone is
go to the next version. Go to the next version.
You have to have a tagline.
And he's the only other person in the world that has my criterion.com login information. It's Matthew Capodicasa.
When I roll, there's a number on the die, and that number is up.
There we go.
Okay.
I don't know.
And her hot new single, Dice Dice Baby, has debuted at number 16 overall in Canada on iTunes. It's Kate Stamos.
You better check your receipts before you check my rolls.
Oh!
Oh, shit.
Joe needs an intro, too, though.
Okay, and here's Joe. So, Kate, Chanel in Grand Rapids, Michigan, says that you looked a little upset when Troy told you that you had to use your flat check as your first number that you rolled instead of using the two-hit, which you intended. How did you feel about that?
Well, yeah, I was upset. You know why? Because in episode 18, minute 57, second 20, what happened? Me. So do I roll the flat check before I roll? Troy, you do whatever you want. It's the 70s, man.
Oh, shit.
Free love, free actions. Listen, I just want to keep it 100.
You're just going to bring up old shit?
I rolled my...
You're just going to bring up old shit?
I have receipts. Do you have receipts? I rolled my second attack already on Dummy Plane, our lovely sponsor. And did you know that you could roll natural ones on Dummy Plane? Troy, I did. Are they still our sponsor? Here's the thing. You don't have to roll that flat check anymore. You, Joe. Well, no, that was the flat check. Troy, finger wag. No. She was emotionally connected to that being the hit. Please, Joe, let's use a nicely paid for fan fumble.
Wow. Joe, do you have any response to that? Being
that
you were intimately involved with this argument here on Troy's side.
I can't even believe and that's what's happening.
Why are we even having this show? That is the mic drop.
That seems...
Joe, what's your rebuttal?
My rebuttal. Well,
you've always been the stickler for, like, whenever we do flat checks, you've been like, you got to roll before.
It's true.
You always stuck by
you
that.
You say it in the transcript. You say it there,
but
too.
We've
like,
always flipped, messed it up.
Flopped. Flip. Flop.
Can we just pause for 1 second to just recognize that Kate has found her medium?
Yes.
this is really what she wants to be doing.
This is my element.
And, but my
you
only...
guys talk about movies all day? You're in my house.
Yeah. This
well, my only question is, how did you come across that particular piece of evidence? Was that from listening to Gatewalkers, which I know you've never done once?
That is a fucking lie, and you know it. I always am in chat.
Give me your phone.
Ask anyone in chat.
Give me your phone.
I'm always in chat. Ask the niche. I'm always there for the live shows.
Yeah, but you're just there to chat and have everybody tell you how great you are and be like, oh my God, thank you guys so much. Oh my God, thank you guys so much. And I'm paying attention
to the
plot.
It's not my fault that people like me.
Oh.
And that I have a storyline this season that doesn't revolve around bringing someone else at the table down.
Oh.
Wow.
But so what I did do was
I'm sorry you interpret it that way.
I'm sorry.
Joe,
you
you're way better
way.
At this
I'm
than
sorry
you thought
you were. You're getting it.
Also finding your medium.
But what I did do was I went on YouTube and I looked at each transcript for every episode and I controlled F for keywords and I found all the receipts that I needed.
This transcripts for all the episodes?
Yeah,
what?
The auto-generated caption transcript.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's genius. You know, we actually wanted to do that. Breaking character for a second.
We wanted to do that, right?
Yeah, for Giant Slayer
and
stuff.
You can pay someone to write them, but they're auto-generated if you don't.
And they're not always correct. You would have to
Sure, but when but there were times after a couple hundred episodes where you're like, when did that thing happen? Like, I want to go find that thing, and not just for fun either, like for continuity for like building a tease. Remember when we do big teases?
And
I was like, I wish we could just like search captioning, but like those shows weren't on YouTube. So like they didn't
build
have
you
that
a bot that does that.
Perfect.
Right?
Great.
Anyway, back to it. Look,
here's the thing I want to talk about.
Okay.
Why did you side with we pulled the table when Troy pulled his bullshit ruling. And none of us remembered this being handed down from on high as some kind of fiat.
And we all
it
knew
wasn't.
It was the rule. You coming in with that rule, we know you, Joe. We know you're going to come in with the rule. This isn't an attack on you.
We're not attacking you.
We're not attacking you.
I feel attacked.
I'm not attacking you. I'm not attacking you.
You had the...
You're being crazy.
You had the chance to do what was right, and you chose to side with Troy.
Who made a bad ruling?
Do you think it's easy for me? being out here for Troy, of all people? I answer to a higher power. The rules.
False confidence?
All high.
Except,
hold on.
Just want to take it back to those receipts, though.
Oh, which one?
You called out the rule. Troy finger wagged you, and you stepped down. Don't interrupt.
You can't just wash over that as if it doesn't matter.
Sydney's flipping her hair back and forth.
I got dizzy and my head hurt.
For the listening audience, there's a lot of finger pointing.
There's a lot of aggressive gesturing.
You really got to watch. I held the sword up at one point.
Yeah.
You changed the rule on the whim of the GM. So
you,
you're not
you decided
following
to make set the standard at a very interesting time.
You always point out the rule, but the GM finger wagged it and you stepped down. The GM flip-flopped the rule and you decided it was hard and fast. That's on you.
That is the GM's prerogative at any time. I say I answer to a higher power of the rules. I will always question the GM. I have no problem questioning the GM. However, rule number one is that whatever the GM says goes. That's the rule of the game. It's in the book. He is able to make any interpretations whenever he wants. Can I finish? You're right. Rule number one is have fun. However,
it says it in the book.
That is a very subjective thing. And from my chair, right there, Troy seemed to be having a lot of fun.
Don't push your finger at me.
I disagree.
Troy did.
Troy seemed like he was pretty embarrassed, actually. He was hiding behind his hat.
I think eventually he felt bad. I wish he could have been here. He could not be here. He had to be somewhere else. You know, it's not like he could defend himself. It's not like anybody would be on his side. However, I would be interested to know. I would try to, like, get in there and really see, like, if any part of him doubted a little bit. Was like, I feel bad.
I think so. But I think Troy has a wonderful quality. I'm going to talk bad about him because he's not here, but I'm also going to talk good about him. Troy has a wonderful quality in being a GM that he will not back down from things, which I respect.
Wait, how is that a wonderful
which
quality?
Which I respect because he's not a pushover GM. You ever play with a GM who's kind of like, oh, okay,
we'll listen to
sure,
reason?
I
no,
guess.
I,
no.
I have not.
I appreciate a GM who is like, this is how I imagined this game. You know, here are my set rules. And I appreciate that.
But the thing is, he imagined the rules the opposite way. And he said that multiple times.
To an extent.
Multiple times. He's like, I like when you roll the flat check after so that you can be sad when you're hit missing.
And here's
it's definitely more dramatic.
And here's what I'll talk bad about him. I think he made a bad ruling, but he was too proud to step back away from it.
I think that's what it was, too.
Well, it's pretty easy to see it that way. However, I wonder if you would do the same thing if the tables were turned. If the tables turned over.
How? Turn the
table. Why would you flip the table?
How about I flip the table right now and let's see. And I want you, can you ever be honest?
Oh, me?
Ever.
You answer to a higher power, the rules. You be honest for once in your life, Joe.
Well, then I'll try it out.
Before that episode, we messed up every single time we did concealment and nobody cared. And when people corrected it, turns after the fact, Troy said, thank you. And that's it.
Let me ask you this. Let me turn the tables. Let me turn dem tables. Let's say that natural 20, I'm sorry, not that natural 20. Let's say that D20, which was your intention. You admit to attack.
Uh-huh.
You forgot about concealment, right? Totally forgot about it.
Uh-huh.
That D20 roll is not a natural 20. It is a 6.
What?
And you know it's a miss.
It's a 6.
So it doesn't matter.
So it doesn't come up as a 20. It comes up as a 6. You know it's a miss. You then remember that there's concealment.
I literally just presented a receipt that said, I rolled a natural 1 on my... I rolled my attack.
That's different.
And it was supposed to be the flat check, and we went with that anyway. So I've already lived your hypothetical.
She already did.
She lived the worst of your hypothetical.
It was even worse than
Troy.
Yeah, it was a natural one.
Janine in Fort Myers says, "Yeah,
yeah, yeah." Thank you, Janine.
Thank you, Janine.
If you remembered it was supposed to be the flat check,
she had.
You would not. You're saying you would not go. Oh, wait. That's the flat check.
But if she failed,
she literally didn't.
You did.
Joe, but what you're saying doesn't make any sense. If she failed the flat check, She doesn't hit anyway.
That was that's a success on the flat check.
No, I'm saying if she rolled a one in the
previous example. A one is an extreme example. I'm talking about if you know it's a miss as an attack, but you know it's a success as a flat check. Are you going to honestly tell me you're going to sit there and say you rolled it, then remember that you had to do concealment? You wouldn't go, wait a minute, that's the concealment roll, and I pass it. So
how
now I'll do my
to
attack.
Answer hypotheticals when like. Come on, I've already had the worst version of this happen with the natural one, and we saw what I did in the moment. And that was, I tried to keep it 100 by saying, hey, I intended for this to be my role, not the concealment check. What do we do?
Mm-hmm.
And Troy, you said use it as concealment, and Troy said fan fumble, and then we went through with that. And
why are you giving me shit? Because clearly, on that example, I was on your side. I was arguing for the players.
I know.
We're saying you always follow the rules. And again, this is not an attack on you.
Yeah.
I am not trying to
attack you. We're not
attacking
you. We're trying to help you.
And Callie in New Brunswick points out that you are sitting in Troy's seat right now.
Oh.
The hot seat.
Here's my thing. In the history of the podcast, I cannot recall a moment where someone rolled a D20 and their intention was to roll a two hit. And that D20 was taken by the GM to say, nope, that is not what you rolled. It is something else. I can't recall an occasion. Joe says he can. We can believe him.
I don't see any receipts with Joe.
I play a lot of games.
In fact, some of our most
how convenient
dramatic, and we always forget. Troy forgets flat checks. We forget flat checks. We forgot in one first edition. We forgot concealment checks all the time.
Yeah,
it was. And we kept deciding to set the rule at that point to be like, no.
Okay. All right. Let's change it up.
All of the sudden.
Okay. Let's move on. Okay. Let's change it up.
Okay.
I think that's Andy Cohen's job.
Well, Keith in Kalispell, Montana, points out that you're being a real Tom Sandoval right now.
Oh.
So let's move on. Let's move on to the next
segment.
I don't even have to, like, listen to this right now. I can't even. That is so ridiculous. Let's move on.
I have one more question. And another thing.
With you in particular. I think I know why you sided with Troy.
Oh.
From moment one, you just don't like the way other players roll dice.
You mean the physical motion of how they roll it?
Yes.
You're right.
You all disappoint me with the physical way in which you roll dice.
You don't give
it enough drama.
You just kind of limply like.
I had the most controversial.
I just rolled a natural one on Troy's
die. What
do
you mean?
I'm touching his die.
All is forgiven.
Wait, let's move it on a little bit. Okay. This is hard, but you gotta try to take it out of your butt hurt feelings.
So you do
and
too.
And missing your natural 20.
You don't need to talk to me like that.
Think.
I don't have to take this.
I don't like the way you're talking to people at this table.
Think about.
Andy, get in there.
You're all really good at this.
Think about the show.
Mm.
What was better for the show and engagement, which ultimately is what we are looking for with our audience. We want them involved. We want them to be part of it.
So you're fabricating drama for engagement?
Fabricating? That seemed pretty real to me.
Was this fabricated drama? Did you play me?
I believe. I am not speaking for Troy.
You were being really genuine in your position there, and she got very upset. Are you saying that you did this all for the cameras?
You did this
for the clout?
You're also really good at this.
I watched a lot of these fucking things, man.
I know. I haven't realized how many I watched too over the years.
I only wish we had the time to do the confessionals where it just cuts to a close-up of Joe, and Joe just goes, I hate them so much.
Yeah,
and then it just
exactly
cuts back.
I'm like, I love playing with you guys. And then it just cuts to me being like,
they're
so full of shit.
And they're never
going to know. Kate is so two-faced.
So comes back to you giving her a hug.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm sorry. I don't want to say manufactured. No, not at all. But I don't want to speak for Troy, but I've played with Troy a very long time. I've been friends with him a very long time. I know the way that he operates. And I felt in that moment, he seized an opportunity. His instinct told him there was an opportunity there to create intense drama. And he went with it. I kind of felt like I had to because of my constant harping that the flat check always needed to be first and that I wanted him to play the game that way because I have some receipts
No, you're being such a Porsche right now. You're throwing him under the bus.
I've never seen anyone be more of a Porsche.
I agree.
You look like a real car right now.
You told me that. What?
Who's Porsche?
Porsche Williams from The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yeah, come on.
I know
Matt.
Exactly what you mean.
Come on, Matt. Yeah, go on.
Page 434 of the player core.
Say again.
Page 434 of the player core.
Everyone crack yours open right now.
Quote, when you target a creature that is concealed from you, you must attempt a DC 5 flat check before you roll to determine your effect. If you fail, you don't affect the target.
I understand that that's the rule.
Yes, and I don't think we're really debating that. I'm saying that I have been on that.
I will be honest. I was like, where is that written? Where is that written?
I did say that.
I did say it.
But only because every time we've done it before, we have flip-flopped.
And we have let people roll it after the fact with no problem.
And sometimes.
Always. And you know who does that?
Roy.
You know who does that? Every table of Pathfinder everywhere.
Right. Yeah. So
they forget.
That one last time when it was a nat 20.
Yeah.
He couldn't let you do it because you would have had the nat 20 with her.
Yeah, I also, yeah.
He couldn't let you do it because he's not here to make friends with you, Kate.
I'm not here to make friends either.
He is trying to make a product.
He's a businessman.
This is a show.
Businessman first, second.
If this is how it's going to be, I'm not doing this.
You don't know what it's like to run a business.
All right, we're going to take five.
I need to take a break.
And then pretend we took a break, and then we all come back, and we're all like this.
Yeah.
I never got to say roll the clip, Francis.
Oh yeah.
Say it now. Francis, roll the clip, Francis.
Francis doesn't
have a clip. There's no clip. He doesn't have a clip. Francis just says,
I don't have a clip.
Play it back.
I think, and I'm not trying to attack you, I think we have come to the conclusion that it is no one's fault at this table.
No. One person that really we should be directing our anger at went home early.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
and
yes.
I'd love to hear from the folks at home who are watching
right now. I do think that Troy used you, too.
Yeah, I think he did.
He was the pawn in his game.
I think he used you.
Yeah.
Really?
I do. I think you need to think about who your friends are.
How does that make you feel?
Yeah, because who's there to back you up? The players. And look around this table.
He'll turn on you the second that he gets the chance.
That's us, Joe.
He loves me.
No. That's...
Hey,
he loves his business.
He wouldn't do that.
You have a lot of friends sitting around here. I'm sensing that there's a lot of support here in this room.
Yeah.
And Joe,
I understand. You put your faith in the rules. Sometimes people don't want the rules.
Yeah.
What do you feel? I bet that makes you feel really, 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 you know, betrayed.
I think I'd prefer to play with robots that don't have any feelings.
I would love that.
And never role play. And simply move from encounter to encounter.
That is a lie. You love to role play when you get the opportunity.
I sure do.
Anyway, I do also think that I need to say that Joe is my friend. So everyone on the internet, please back off. Really mean comments.
That's my friend.
It was very heated and I was very mad, but it also is a show and it's a game and we're friends.
Also, so if you're telling me...
Can you cool it?
If you're telling me that your TTRPG table has never gotten into a minutia argument like that, you're lying.
Yeah,
that
a tiff over so things real. That don't matter.
Yeah, like you're lying. That happens all the time. And it's very drama filled and it's very fun and frustrating. And I think it was fun and frustrating. And now we're like, now there's a set rule. Now we got a new rule at the table.
I will also say that I think Troy, I have definitely struggled with this. I continue to struggle with it. And I hate to say I always will. I'd like to think I can get better, but I probably won't. Troy does have a pretty good sense of when he can pull the rug out from under you. From behind the screen, when he knows you're not going to die,
yeah,
he has a good sense of like we feel harried, we feel we can't even hit this enemy. Our frustration is building. You know, there's a gathering storm happening when that natural 20 hits, and so to pull the rug out at that moment feels like such a betrayal, and it's so frustrating, enormously frustrating when you don't know the end.
Yeah,
you know, and it's not that he crafts the end; it's just that. And he's told me this multiple times. He's like, you get so negative about what's happening in a combat and like decisions I'm making that are putting hardships on you. And you have to every once in a while be like, maybe Troy knows how many hit points this thing has. Or maybe Troy knows what its two hit is and it's not going to blow whatever. And I'm just building drama in any way that I can. I'm not saying that's the case here. He didn't say that to me about this situation at all. I do find it interesting that he found that he took this moment, you know, to take the hard stance. It was a shitty, shitty moment to do it, but it was also an explosive moment to do it. And it caused, you know, a lot of drama. And I didn't read the comments. I wouldn't read the comments because I had no question what the comments would be. There was no doubt in my mind. I wasn't wondering, like, I wonder if there'll be somebody on my side. Like, there was no question.
One Joe head out there like, hey, guys, stop.
But I did hear, like, Grapevine was, there were some people that were like, I will never listen to this network again because of this moment.
Some people,
now, maybe that
people
was just
handle the trauma.
Maybe that was just a flash in the pan and they'll come back
I
eventually.
Hope so.
Yeah, I certainly don't want to make a show that makes people uncomfortable. I can't stand like these reality shows. I don't know. I go back and forth between like, I love watching this train wreck, and like,
oh, yeah.
I'm actually uncomfortable.
There's a fine
and
line
the anger.
The garbage. Like, yeah. Some Below Deck, it just gets too much, too dark, too real.
When people actually start fighting, I tend to leave the room.
Yeah.
The drama.
I have watched Skid. We were in the middle of dinner once, and I'm not going to name names. Certain people at the table said some things that were controversial, and some of the people at the table took the bait. And I watched Skid just drop his pizza and leave the restaurant.
I just left, went for a walk.
Which was a wise decision.
I don't like it.
Drama can be fun and silly, but then when it gets a little too real or people start getting very actually upset, it gets immediately unfun. You know, like
fake arguments are hilarious and funny.
Yeah.
When it starts to feel like it's real, that's when I get.
So I understand from the viewer's standpoint, like, oh, this is hard to watch. It was a tricky combat. We're all friends.
Yeah.
Nobody hates each other.
Yeah. It was an enormously frustrating combat.
And to also lift the veil, like that episode and the two before it, we recorded all in the same day. So it was just like,
it was a long
me
day
sucking for like six hours. Yeah, right. And then like that happened and I was like, oh God. And
the other thing
that affected my reaction as well. Cause like I know like how frustrated you must be. And it's just like, give her one win.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she's gone through this, but.
I also think he wants to play all the combats by the book. And I agree. He has a pretty good sense of like, okay, no one's going to die. I can antagonize him a little bit.
Yeah.
Amp up the story. But I think in that one in particular, it was an especially frustrating combat. We were all rolling terribly. And by the time we hit Kate's natural 20, that wasn't a natural 20, that got called back, like we were frustrated.
Yeah.
Like, the room was frustrated. And like the table needed a win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that was the main thing.
Yeah. That was the main thing.
We all were rolling very badly.
Now, Troy has nothing to do with this.
Totally.
Troy did not craft this at all. But it made the next natural 20 the biggest natural 20.
Oh, yeah. No, it worked out.
Yeah.
But we could have been doing that combat for another 30 minutes.
100%. 100%. But can we just, let's turn positive for a second. Holy shit.
Oh, no.
It's the best natural 20 of Gatewalkers thus far.
No question.
It's going to be hard to top.
Absolutely.
That was an incredible moment.
You ran around the
You know, you I would do that. I would do that from time to time in Giant Slayer.
Yeah, yeah.
You ran.
Yeah, he.
I would do that from time to time in Giant Slayer, but it would have to be a pretty damn big moment. It, you know, if we did 300 episodes, we probably did it 10 times, right? Like, it didn't happen that often. First time in Gatewalkers. And in this, there's a lot more work to it. You have to unplug yourself
in order to do it.
And I was like, it's worth it.
Yeah.
That natural 20 was so.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. Such relief.
Yeah.
Not because we were going to live, just like that we had finally done it.
That just like, yeah, like the heat broke in the room.
Yes.
Like, oh, finally it's raining a little bit. it feels better.
It was great. It was great drama and an enhanced moment of triumph at the end.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell a very, very quick story here. I feel like it's warranted because it's just funny. And I don't know if you know it. You may not. I'm almost certain, Kate, that you do not know it. Early in my Pathfinder days, I ran a game for Skid and some friends of mine, Nick Lowe included. And I don't think Nick was in the game at this point. He might not have been in the game, but these were some friends.
I don't really need to get into
who they all were. One of them in particular was a client of mine and a buddy. He was a good friend, but he was also, like me, wired, like Skid, like an Irishman. and with a short fuse and a hot temper. And he was also objectively a little bit of a pain in the ass as a player, with nickel and diming me a lot. So this, I've been running a game for years at this point. And we're at a bodega. And he gets down, nickel and dimes me about, and this fight was not about a 20 or concealment. This fight was about cover.
Wait, you're in a bodega arguing about the game?
We're in a bodega playing. No, we're playing in the bodega.
Oh.
There was a bodega where we would play every week.
Okay, okay.
Like, nobody had, like, a table that you could play on in apartments in New York. And this bodega was friendly specifically to role-playing games.
Hilarious. Yeah.
It was awesome. It was
There would often be, like, two or three games going on.
Yeah, it was, like, Fifth Avenue and 30th Street. Like,
buy some snacks.
Yeah.
We'd go buy beers.
Yeah.
As long as we were, like, buying beers and food, like, they were cool with us being up there for hours. So we'd play up there. So one time it was about cover. He was just kind of like kind of around a corner. And I was like, your attack is, you know, the enemy's going to get a bonus to the AC. He's arguing about how he could reach around a corner, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And I was drinking and he was drinking. And I was like, I'm dying on this hill. Like, I am not backing off of this. Like, he has cover, whatever. And he was like, you're, you know, like a megalomaniacal asshole, and you're just like trying to like, you do this and you do that, and you fudge your roles, and you're full of shit and all this stuff. And I was just like, I pushed my seat back, and like all of my, like, saw red, like all of my shit just went blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, you know what? Everybody is sick of your bullshit around the table. Everybody's tired of listening to you bitch about every little thing about the game. And I did that, and I put it like
right in his face.
And he jumps up from the table, and this guy is ripped, and he jacked me like hard. And I went back like 5-6 feet and I like caught my feet and was like stunned at how hard he hit me and that he did that, and it kind of shook me out of it, you know, like Boromir, like I was kind of like, holy shit. And there's other games that I'm playing. Looking like this. Skid looked like a deer in headlights.
I know, because I'm sitting I'm like watching it from the middle, so I'm like,
you like the tennis court.
I'm sitting at center court. Yeah, it was
a bad situation. And I, like, everybody's looking at me. I'm like, I know I'm in a public place. I immediately get my, you know, head under control. And I just, like, I calm down. You know, he starts to calm down. We finished the game. I don't really remember the next little bit because I was so, like, out of whack.
Could have left.
But it was definitely late in the night. And then, the next day, like, he's a friend of mine. And the next day, I called him. And he was like, holy shit, I'm so sorry. And I was like, I'm so sorry, blah, blah, blah. Like, I got fired up. I was frustrated, blah, blah, whatever. And he's like, no, I shouldn't have done it. It was ridiculous, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, I tell you what, like, I can't stop seeing it pushing you over and over again. He's like, I don't care about pushing you. He's like, I've pushed or hit every one of my close friends. Like, that means you're a friend. He's like, what I care about is Skid.
Yeah.
Because he had only met him like a year before.
Yeah, yeah.
And he knew how sweet, like, Skid was. He was like, I feel awful about doing that in front of Skid. Like, I could see it in his face, blah, blah. So anyway, and we ended up playing that game for like another year.
I know, we still
played
another three, and then Nick joined, and then everything. It was a great game.
And we never fought again.
And
but
he played in your very short-lived, but the Curse of the Crimson
Throne. Yeah, game. Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
He played in that,
That's the mark of a gaming table. Like, you
right,
get
it happens. And what I'm saying is that was way more violent than what we
did. Maybe not assault.
Maybe not assault.
Let's not hit each other.
I think, we were all frustrated for sure.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it was a frustrating comment. We were working the problem.
Right.
Like,
right.
We didn't have enough information. Kate figured it out, but we were like, we were trying to get.
We were failing recall knowledge left and right.
Yeah.
And, well, I succeeded at first. I just wasn't given the right information.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was another.
I didn't ask a question.
That was another thing.
And then with the hole and.
Oh, falling in the hole.
Mm. We talked about, like, maybe the Intui, the better move is to recall knowledge after you see them do something. Like,
what is that?
Yeah. What did that? What just happened?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just very frustrating. We were working the problem, but it was slow going.
Difficult. Yeah.
So
agreed.
It was a slog. I don't think
it was a slog.
Didn't get to actual.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys for sitting down, hashing it out, having a little reunion. Skid, thank you for moderating.
Yeah.
And great pull on the receipt. That was good. That was good. It made me really wish Troy was here.
I know. Yeah. He would have gotten a kick out of that.
He would have gotten a kick out of that. And he won't listen.
He's like, I'm not going up.
Amazing.
I'm not going up against another Virgo. She's going to have her respect.
Walkout music.
That is so awesome. Okay, let's get into a couple We Are Stupids, a little listener mail, and then we'll get out of here. I don't know if you guys... Oh, Jesus, my thing's being weird. I don't know if you've heard this one, but let's see.
We are stupid.
No.
Nice. Very good.
New one from Nick. It's only a couple weeks old. Okay, so the Onyx dog. We're not going to use it for 4 more months of gameplay because it's once a week. But this is from Professor Eric. Thank you, Professor Eric. The activation is a 2-action command and interact, which means the round you put it out, you have commanded it. So it gets an action on the round it comes out. Similar to how summons work.
Okay.
And summons have 3 actions to summon, but they then have an action on their turn. So does this thing, even though it's only 2 actions, but it's much less powerful than your average summon.
Yeah.
So it is a command and interact. So that's a good point out from Professor Eric. Thank you.
I guarantee I won't remember.
Thank you very much.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
This was interesting. I was curious if Zephyr's standing up could have triggered the Shay's movement for a maximum FU from Troy. But the trigger was fairly narrow and Troy didn't expand its definition. So we said here that the definition was when a creature moves into an adjacent space. Could moving up from prone mean moving into an adjacent space? Let us know in the comments. It's an interesting conversation.
It's moving in versus moving into.
He could decide when to use it. It's not like it was an uncontrolled reaction.
That's true. He could have chosen not to use it.
He chose to, multiple times.
Yeah.
To not do it.
Yeah. Yeah, because whoever was moving up didn't threaten him or whatever.
That's a good semantics point, though. Skid said move into a space or move in a space, you know?
If that's the actual text of the trigger, then I would say no.
Yeah.
It's already in that space.
I would also say...
threatening. From
yeah.
Right.
Well, let us know what you think in the comments. I think that there could be some debate there, but I'm with you, Matthew. All right. So how about... let's go into the hot topic again from Professor Eric's perspective. Of course, he quotes the player core, but then he says the other reason he likes to try to remember and always force players to do the flat check first is multi-layered. The primary thing being hero points and the use of hero points, which is something that I had not thought of. He was like, you can use a hero point or a bottle cap. You can use a bottle cap on a flat check. And it's important to determine, you don't want to have that lingering out there by not knowing what the intention of the roll was and have it pretty standard that it's always first. So that if you decide to bottle cap it, you know when that's happening. And this is why he says he dislikes the common speed it up strategy of roll both die with one die know being the attack, one die you know being the flat check. I usually love doing
I hate that.
But thing.
This is an interesting idea as to why to not do it because it you using the bottle cap is then you pick which die you want to use it on. That's not really kosher.
You know you don't hit, so why would you use it on the concealment?
Right, exactly. So it added an interesting layer in there. And then I just want to quote this. However, concealment check is probably the most overlooked, retroactively needed role I've seen in all of my PF2 games. No matter how good you are about trying to enforce it, I think having some grace here is important. I typically will allow the retroactive flat check, but will disallow any hero points on a retroactive flat check.
That's fair.
That's fair.
Because you already know you hit, right?
And we know, Professor Eric. We know we don't have any hero points.
We have none anyway, so.
I don't get
we don't cap. Play by hero points. We play by Troy's bottle cap rules.
He also confirms that the deviant ability goes off before the, before the backlash happens, even if you get a backlash.
We keep rolling the backlash first.
Immediately.
Which we're supposed to do.
Right. But so you roll it first, you do your ability, and then...
Yep,
then
it never interrupts the ability.
It's not taking away.
But then after it, you will get the backlash. It says, whenever you attempt to use a deviation, roll a DC 5 flat check. There's another layer in here, which... sorry, I'm having trouble reading like quickly, but about the hot topic, which was that... a lot of creatures they have abilities that are triggered when they are targeted. So whether that's a reaction or usually a reaction, if you target that creature, you roll that flat check. That is effectively targeting the creature. So it's also important to realize that, like, even if you miss on the flat check, you could trigger their reaction. It's not like your attack never happened. It's like you started the attack. The flat check is the first part of that attack. So an interesting thing to keep in mind for when you get really granular with the rules. And then... and then lastly, he just says, and I'll say the Shay's multiple teleports were run correctly. I saw some of the community puzzled, but since you didn't ID it and Troy didn't explain it, I won't say more here about how it works. But we all know Troy told us after the fact how it all works. But he ran it correctly.
Okay.
So good to know. All right, let's get a couple questions from you guys in, and then we're going to bounce out of here. Oh, Nick again with the listener mail.
It's time for listener mail.
Nice, Sid.
That's kind of what we did today. We did question that fucking answer.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, you did. All right. Andrew, you from Roseville, Minnesota. I just had to shout you out, Andrew. He said, the real question everyone wants answered is, if Kate had rolled a six on the roll, she intended to be her attack, which would be a miss, but a success on the flat check, would Troy have stepped in and had that be the roll for the flat check, or just let the roll count as a miss?
I think I answered
He's not here to answer for himself, but you've already answered.
You're a very honest person.
Yeah. Quick one from Jed in Ontario. Hey, guys, I hope you had a good time at the Toronto show, as did we. Just wondering if you liked having the VIP meet and greet before the show.
Oh, yes.
I felt a little rushed, blah, 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 because it was so tightly timed. I didn't get to say hi to Sydney, who Jed loves, but just, but though she was kind enough to give me a signature, love you guys and love my new Joe Dice.
Nice.
Glad you got the Joe Dice.
Maybe it doesn't seem like it after the show, but we do have a tight timeline after the show also because we have a time we need to be out.
Yes.
Yeah, the venue has an
app. Venue has a...
So thank you,
Kev has to go.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
We end up doing the same amount of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
It is the same amount of time.
This is you say.
I will say we all felt like we had so much more energy to give to everyone because we're not exhausted from the day and then a show.
And burnt, mentally fried.
Yeah, like it's so hard after a show. You know how it is. You play a game and it's like all of my thinking goes to math.
Yeah.
And then I can't talk after that.
And then we go backstage really quick.
Then you're bad at math and talking.
I'm bad at math and talking. And usually I'm good at talking. But no, I liked it so much more. And everyone was so nice at the Toronto show too. I'm sorry that I didn't get to say hi to you, Jed. Hello now.
And which I think to pull back the curtain a little bit, what we would do before is we would do sound check and then we would all go back to the green room. And then sit for a long time
and like worry.
Hours sometimes.
And Troy would work himself up into a panic. We'd be kind of just sitting there trying to entertain ourselves. And you know, sometimes those green rooms aren't particularly comfortable. So you're like, we're not able to actually.
Or we overthink a combat that's coming up. We just like stew with our thoughts.
Or people are on their phones or on their. So this way, we actually made really good use of the time by getting to put that energy towards meeting people.
And it was nice. Yeah, and it was nice meeting a lot of the people before the show. Like getting to know some of the faces that you're going
to
be looking at.
Got to roll some dice.
Performing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to roll dice when they got to shout them out during the show.
That people gave me. It was really
cool. It was no exaggeration, a million times better than doing it after.
Yeah. And then like
I agree with
on the tours where we do two cities in like one weekend, like we're not leaving the venue super late and then showing up to the next show like extra tired.
Yeah.
We're not like trying to quickly stuff our face with pizza in like 5 minutes after the show, before going back out and then like burping pizza in your face.
Right. Yeah.
That is like,
it's just, I feel that really
it's
is.
Better.
Yeah. I have burped some pizza.
For sure.
That's just rude. Sure. All right. We're going to get out of here on this one, but it's not a fast one. This is a good question. I saved it for last. I'd love to pose this to you guys. In fact, I'm excited that it's not just Troy and I this time. I'd love to hear what you have to say. Suburbanite from Burlington, Virginia, who is on Twitch.
Oh, yeah. Suburbanite.
Suburbanite, thank you so much for watching on Twitch. We appreciate it so much. Troy once referred to Bleak Prospect, the new game, Who Dis, Call of Cthulhu game that we did, as his favorite scenario he's ever read in an RPG. Now that a few more years have passed, do you, Troy, or Joe, now you guys are all here, which is great, have any updated thoughts on your favorite adventure scenarios, regardless of RPG system? So we're not talking about system, we're talking about scenario or AP, adventure, any system. It's, you know, kind of a big question, but I'm curious if any of you have an answer top of mind. Matthew, yeah?
I'm trying to remember the actual title of, you know, Troy doesn't tell us the titles of the modules we run, but the first module we ran for SideQuest Side Sesh. What was it called?
For God's sake. The one with the town, the village, the Feast of Ravenmore.
Yeah. Was maybe my favorite module.
That was really
actually, cool. That's a really good answer.
That's a good answer.
That's a really good answer. I had forgotten about that one. Oh, man, that was so good. A creepy sort of deliverance meets like creepy horror dinner kind of like vibe with twists, big twists.
Big twists.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. It was like Deliverance meets Wicker Man.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. There it is. Summed it up. Do you have one, Sid?
I have one. I tend to really enjoy listen to other like TTRPGs, and I really enjoy silly things like set in a fantasy high school, like very silly stuff. Although I love playing dark things. So it's kind of the juxtaposition, but there was a one shot that my friend ran for Delta Green, and it was a blend of silly and dark because it was Delta Green, but it was basically everybody got a character assigned to them, and one person was a normal guy, and everyone else was some sort of like supernatural, unknown to the other players, was some sort of like alien supernatural creature who had these like messed up things. And everyone's goal was to get this one object and like bring it back to your home planet. But we all thought we were Delta Green agents on the same mission, and we were all human. So we all
think everyone else is human.
Exactly. And you think you're the one alien. So like we were doing this whole thing. We were like in the New York Public Library. We had to like go to the next door. Somebody was at a diner, like classic Delta Green, just everyone's doing whatever. And then suddenly it started to be like, I pick you up and I put you in my pocket. And everyone was like, What? Pardon me?
I'm sorry, what?
And the DM was just like, okay, so he picks you up and he puts you in your pocket. What do you do? And everyone's like, what is going on? And like everyone started using their abilities and like flying. It was just chaos at the end, but it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Kate, do you have any ideas?
Honestly, playing Masks of Nyarlathotep has been really fun. I mean, like the people that I play
I hear it's the greatest adventure awesome. Ever written.
It's so good.
But, like, it's so fun. Like, we're on the second book right now, I think. And like we're traveling around the world, essentially. I think we're going to end up doing that, which is like nuts. The mysteries are fun. There are some things that we do that are very like monster of the week, don't really have much to do with like the overall arc of everything, but like are just this encapsulated, like just weird thing that goes on. It's just fun.
Yeah, that's a really hard answer to top. Like, I'm playing Masks of Nyarlathotep, which is like
chunky
the most
combat,
famous.
But it's still like easy to play in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's so enjoyable to listen to. So
it's great. It's good.
I always read that the Delta Green early Delta Green scenario, Music from a Darkened Room, was supposed to be phenomenal. Yeah. I haven't read it.
I haven't read it either.
Yeah, for anticipating that we might someday
run it one day. Yeah.
I think my favorite one still that I've ever played in was the Scourge of the Slave Lords mega module from TSR that I played with my buddies back in middle school.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, that's got to hold a special place.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
What's like the basic is a D&D? AD&D?
Yeah, it's AD&D, and it's actually shit on a lot by a lot of the grognards, the people like looking back, but I love it. But one of the things, the early things that happens is that your group, your party is taken prisoner by slavers, and all of your equipment, like everything is taken from you, and you have to figure out what to do with none of your stuff. And I was running it, and it was just like, I just loved like the look on my friends' faces when they're like, like, you don't have your sword or your stupid hat. You don't really have like any of that stuff. It's gone. You know, it's
great. That's great. That's great. As usual, I can't just have one answer. That'd be ridiculous. So I'm going to do a Pathfinder and a Delta Green. Pathfinder for me, you might know this, it always just stands out for me. It's a Pathfinder Society scenario very early on. It's like season two or three or something like that. And it's Citadel of Flame, which you have both played in that I've run.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've run it like five times. I've never run anything that many times. I just feel like it's such a cool scenario. Yeah. And it's essentially, and I love the setup. The setup is just like a Pathfinder, a high level Pathfinder Society wizard is just flying over the Kadiran Desert. Just like flying. I think it's Kadira or near Kadira. Just flying. Because like that's how that wizard would get around, you know? And just going from like one place to the next. And during that flight, notices some sort of unearthed like fortress that has been revealed by the Blowing Sands. And so they send out an investigative team.
Oh, we played this up at the Cape, right? Didn't we play this up at the Cape Cod?
No, that was an updated D&D, like old school D&D scenario that Joe updated.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a slightly different one. But
I want to play this one, though.
But, I'd love to run it for you one day. And I won't say anything. What's that?
Run it on tour.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's like, fuck that.
We have to make content out of it. Content. I just feel like, anyway, I won't say any more, but it's really cool because you basically go to these like, you know, distant sands, sort of, you have to go out for camels for days to like get there. Oh. And then it's a race with like other people to like uncover what is this ancient building that has been revealed by just millennia of Blowing Sands.
I think I played it, but not with you.
What?
I think I played it with like in a PFS scenario.
Oh, really?
You setting. Should play it.
Holy shit.
Here's a module.
I'm sorry. You definitely played it because I ran it at your house with Troy. Troy was there. He played in it. That's where he made the solution. Remember? He like whipped up a character named the solution.
Oh.
It was
a fighter. Oh, God. It was so funny.
Here's a module I did not play in, but had heard stories about the game, and it might be my favorite thing I've never played, which is the one that you ran, at least for Joe, but maybe Troy also, Pathfinder Society scenario, where you are transporting like three goblin prisoners.
Oh, yeah. It's
the Frost for Captives. That's a famous one.
Yes.
And it was like just hearing the stories of how it went was so delightful.
Yeah. You need Skid to run it, really, or a Skid level person, because to play every goblin, you know, to run every goblin, it's just amazing. Like, you, the whole scenario is essentially you have to transport goblins like through this thing. And they're so chaotic, and they get all, it's like trying to shuttle kids from one place to another.
It's like
the 100 baby challenge.
Psychotic children.
It's like, I get it.
Yeah. And Skid did an amazing job of making you feel so real. You're like, no. Constantly trying to grab and pull them back. And then there's fights, and like, you have to keep them protected.
Yeah,
and like,
sounds awesome.
It's like, it was really fun.
I remember telling a story about like, you got into a huge fight and like a bunch of the goblins, and they were being chaotic. And then you finally finished, and one of the goblins just goes, Breakfast?
Yeah. Breakfast? So awesome. And then I'll mention a Delta Green one, which we played, which is the first one that I ran after New Game Who Dis, which was The Last Equation.
Oh, the math one. Yep.
Man.
Yep.
That was fucking, I love that was good as fuck.
That was great.
I love that scenario. Good. It was the reason it was the first one I ever picked to run on Delta Green. Last Things Last is great too as an intro scenario.
Yeah.
But like the idea of it's just a standard. Not standard, but it's a terrible multi-murder, but it's a murder investigation in North Jersey.
Yep.
And you go out there and there's just all these bloodied bodies, a clear murderer who's already dead with a shotgun and just a math equation on the ground. Yep. And then uncovering what that equation is and why it drove them mad and how unnatural high-level math can be. It's such a cool scenario.
It is great. It's a great classic kind of horror sci-fi, like big idea that works really well. And it's just it was so fun. The show itself, I think, was phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. Like
what we ended up making out of it was great, too.
The news vans in the parking lot, like beginning of the show is so funny.
Yeah.
Just the failure immediately.
Yeah, yeah. It was just like, I mean, Grant said something as Riker Salas. He said something along the
line. Terrorism?
Yeah, yeah. He says something like to the reporters. He's just like, or he yells at somebody like, don't cover that up. This could be terrorists, blah, 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 whatever. And like the reporter's like,
terrorists?
Did you say terrorists?
And they all start like writing stuff down.
And he's just like, wait, no. And then the news reports are all like terrorist attack in North Jersey. I mean,
keep it low profile, says the hander. Handler's like, don't say anything weird.
Right. Keep it low profile. So
I'm getting arrested or something. And there's like people watching it. And it's just like, isn't that famed sci-fi author? Gordy Arsenault.
That's right. The same one where we're we shot at each other when Grant with Grant's new character.
Yeah.
Grant shot me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The mystery led you somewhere, which I will not describe.
Oh,
and
my God. You gotta listen to it.
I dropped it. I was like, I guess I shoot back.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't say anymore. It would be a spoiler. You gotta
check
it out.
The origin of the phrase, get in the trunk.
It is. That's true. It actually is. Yeah. Yeah. Grant's character. Yep. Okay. Enough said. That's it. That's all I got. Thank you so much, Suburbanite. That was a really fun question. Because we always get like, what's your favorite RPG system? What's the favorite new game you played this year, etc. But not like, what's your favorite adventure or scenario? So that was awesome. Yeah, that is going to wrap it up, as they say. Any parting words, Kate? Any parting words before we get out of here?
I'm just waiting for my invitation to Dancing with the Stars. I'm ready.
Well, you did a fantastic job. It was awesome.
That was a great reunion.
The hair throw was fantastic. Skid, thank you again for moderating.
Thank you.
It was awesome.
See you next
season. Thanks so much for watching, everybody. Hey, if you're a Vorpal subscriber, come check us out tonight, 7:30 Eastern on Discord. We're going to be hanging out. That's going to be really fun. Jared and I, maybe Skid's going to pop by. Whoever else wants to pop by, you're welcome. And then, of course, Gatewalkers continues tomorrow night, 8 o'clock Eastern on YouTube. And, and then Time for Chaos on Friday night. Check out Kate on YouTube as well, YouTube premiere. So that's going to do it for us. Have a fantastic week and weekend, and we'll see you next week on the FOD. Later, everybody. Bye.
It's time to make your membership official. Become an official member of The Naish today at jointhenaish.com. That's jointhenaish.com, where you'll get access to exclusive podcasts and live streams you can't find anywhere else. See what everybody's talking about and join The Naish today at jointhenaish.com.
Welcome to a journey into the heart of the Texas Renaissance Festival, the nation's largest and rowdiest celebration of medieval fantasy. But what lurks beneath the facade of tights and turkey legs? Well, we dove deep into the empire to uncover a history marred by mystery and misconduct, murders, assaults, and other crimes that tarnish its legacy. This isn't just a fairy tale. It's a cautionary tale of power, fantasy, and the consequences that follow when they all collide. Search for Crime Waves Renaissance Texas on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening now.
In the 1970s, John Todd burst onto the evangelical scene with a shocking tale. He claimed to be a former witch involved in a then unheard of secret organization called the Illuminati and urged Christians to prepare for a violent world takeover.
First of all, the number one weapon in everybody's home should be a 12-gauge pump shotgun.
Hear the amazing story of one of the originators of the modern-day conspiracy theory. From Magnificent Noise and Sony Music Entertainment, this is Cover Up, the Conspiracy Tapes.